I think rather than read the whole chapter and then come back and explain it, I think we can just kind of read it and walk through it. Verses 1 through 3 kind of set the stage. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory, and he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality." Okay, I probably should just make sure we understand the context here. Up through chapter 16, we saw the pouring out of the bowls, the three phases of God's wrath during the tribulation. Chapter 17 and 18, we're backing up and not looking at the judgment itself as much as what is being judged. And we know that in chapter 17 that we saw the last few weeks, we saw the destruction of the religious system. And what we are getting here is the destruction of the political and economic and even military. We're going to see the destruction of the military system in chapter 19 when the Lord returns. But this is the destruction of the empire, the world government of the Antichrist described in chapter 18. And what we have in these first three verses is the description of the angel that shows up to reveal this to John, along with the reasons why this judgment is being poured out. Whenever we see the words "after these things" that we see in verse 1, we always in the book of Revelation see a new vision being introduced. And he saw another angel. This is an angel different angel than what came down in chapter 17, but it's another of the same kind is the word that's used there for another angel. He's coming down from heaven. And here's three characteristics. He has great authority because the message he proclaims is from the authority of heaven. And the earth was illumined with his glory. One of the results of the bowls of wrath is the darkening of the earth, and the arrival of this angel who is ushering in the destruction of this system is showing up as light that'll stand in stark contrast to the darkness of the war that has engulfed the world, which means everybody's going to see this coming. And verse 3, he's crying out with a mighty voice. He's speaking with the might and the authority of heaven, and his message is, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dweller." Well, let me stop right there. "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." There's a lot of people that think that when we talk about Babylon, we're talking about the godless world system. Other commentators think we're talking about an actual city. I've told you that I lean towards the understanding that it is an actual city, but we understand sometimes that one particular city can represent a whole system, right? Even a place, and if I say Wall Street, am I talking about a street in New York City? Well, there is a literal street in New York City called Wall Street. But what else does that represent? A whole financial system. That's right. It's the financial capital of the world. So it represents an entire system. And I think that what is being the judgment here being pronounced is on a literal city, a rebuilt city of Babylon, that I think will serve as the center of the Antichrist's economic and political reign. I think it'll be probably the old site of the ancient city on the Euphrates River in Iraq that has the construction of it, the reconstruction of it began way back under the reign of Saddam Hussein. I think he had visions of demonstrating to the world that he was the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar, who would rule the greatest empire of the world. That didn't come about, but the foundations have been laid. This city is Antichrist's capital city. And this isn't the first time that we've heard the pronouncement of doom upon this city. Back in chapter 14 and verse 8, there was an angel that cried out, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality." And that the tense in that verse, the same as here, it's speaks of it as if it has already, the certainty of which is as if it has already happened. Yes, sir.
I was just thinking about that. It does, but then it has become a dwelling place of demons like it is now. I mean, in the present.
That's, and
this is.
Yes.
So
and it's spoken of, the destruction is spoken of with such certainty. It's as if it has already taken place, though it has not actually taken place. God can speak of things, God can make proclamations of things with such certainty that He can speak of them as if they're already done, because He can guarantee that they're going to come to pass. And yes, what you read here, what you just mentioned, and what we go on and read is that here's why this Babylon is to be destroyed. She has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison of every unclean spirit, which is another synonym for demons, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. There's the biggest challenge of interpretation in this chapter, what are these unclean and hateful birds. And we know that the Antichrist is going to be aided in his rule of the world because a horde of demons like the world has never seen will be unleashed during this time. We've read about it in subsequent chapters. The 200 million demons that are released, the four demonic forces, major demons that are unleashed from and that are bound in the area of the Euphrates River from this area. There's just going to be, the world will be inundated with demonic activity during this time like never before. We've also learned that demonic activity is going to be restricted to the earth during that time. And this city is the focal point. This city is the capital where these demons live. And you almost get a sense here that the city has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of unclean spirits. When you think about a prison, what do you think about? A place where they're all confined, a place where they're all locked up. And the imagery here, I think, is not that hard to understand. I think God round, they may be all over the globe before the, and I think this destruction is described in the pouring out of the seventh bowl of wrath. But before that seventh bowl of wrath is poured out, I think God gathers up the demons and locks them up in this city at the time of its destruction. That's why it becomes a prison of every unclean spirit. God's going to round them up, get them in one spot before He destroys everything that they stand for and their leader, and casts them into prison, into the abyss. What is the unclean and hateful birds? That's the challenge here. And back in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus told a parable about the kingdom of God being like a mustard seed. The mustard seed begins small and grows into a great tree. And what uses that tree? the birds of the air. And the one explanation that seemed to make sense to me is, if that tree, if that mustard tree represents the kingdom of God, these the birds of the air that utilize that tree are the false prophets, the false teachers, the false religious systems that claim to be a part of that kingdom and dwell among that kingdom as the tares are sown in among the wheat. So this reference to the birds, to these hateful, unclean and hateful birds, could be a reference to all of the unclean, the false teachers who inhabit the world at that time and deceive the people into following the Antichrist. They're all going to be brought together. And here's been the extent of their influence. All the nations, verse 3, have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality. We read about that back when the beast was described. Then when the great harlot, the woman, was described, the world drank of the passions of her immorality, were drunk on the passions of her immorality. And then she's destroyed in the last part of the tribulation period, about the midpoint. Antichrist is being worshipped, and the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of Babylon's immorality. And the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. This system is going to be characterized by the very things we see that are becoming more and more, that are proliferated more and more in our world today. Immorality and materialism. The world, the United States has been drunk in pursuit, has drunken deeply in the pursuit of materialism. The Western world is drunk of the immorality of materialism and has been for a long time. And we see the immorality, literal immorality, going along with that. The merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. The Almighty, this system, Antichrist's system, will not be a system of communism. It'll be a system, it'll be a capitalistic system that thrives on profit and is fueled by the desire for wealth and prosperity. How do you know that? How do I know that? Well, we're going to read about what the destruction involves here in just a minute. Now here's an interesting aspect in verse 4. I heard another voice. Here's a different voice coming from heaven. And here's what it's saying. This is a call. Come out of her, my people. If this is a voice from heaven, it's a voice that ultimately comes from God. It may be an angel making the proclamation, but the angels are proclaiming God's message. And the instruction here, the invitation, is to my people, to God's people, to the people of God, so that, saying, come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive her plagues. There's a way to avoid this. Is it going to be easy? First of all, God will have his people during the tribulation. There will be people who are saved. It'll be a time of great, the harvest of a great many souls, I believe, during the tribulation. And there's going to be tremendous pressure during that time to plug into this system. Remember, if you don't have, in the Antichrist's world economic system, if you want to buy the food that you need, get the goods that you need, what do you got to have? Got to have the mark. And So there'll be pressure from the government. There'll be pressure from the religious community that's deceived. There'll be pressure from family and friends that are not believers, saying, "Come on, you got to get it. You got to get with the program if you want to survive. You got to have the mark." There'll be tremendous pressures being exerted on the people of God to participate.
Isn't that already happening though with electronic monies?
I think the electronic monies and the movement towards a cashless society are all things that are being put in place to facilitate all of this. So
it's part and parcel.
Yeah, it's just part of it. It's just part of just like the rise of immorality, the rise of materialism, the political agenda of some is that we have to move towards the only way we're ever going to have world peace is if we have what? One world government controlling everything. One world all of that stuff all the pieces are falling into place. And the pressure will be great. If I don't hurry, we won't make it. But the invitation there in verse 4, come out of that. Stand apart from that. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Do not be conformed to this world is the New Testament principle there. For her sins have piled as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. All right? Remember the origins of Babylon, were in Babel. And the tower, they were building a tower unto heaven. Here her plague, her sins are piled as high as the heaven, and God has taken notice. And here's the cry. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds, and the cup which she has mixed twice as much for her. The biblical principle in the Old Covenant was that if you were caught stealing a sum of money from your neighbor, you had to pay back how much? Twice. It's the law of retribution and restitution. You paid back twice. And verse 7, to the degree that she glorified herself, she manifests her pride and lives sensually, gave herself to all kinds of immorality. To the same degree, give her torment and mourning. The word torment there literally means torture that leads to mourning. For she says in her heart, here's what she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, I'm not a widow, and will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire. For the Lord God who judges her is strong. You can go and read those same words in, Isaiah 47. In Isaiah 47, you can read a prophecy of Isaiah of the destruction of Babylon, where the words are very close to this, very, very similar to these words, where Babylon is saying, in the height of her power and prominence, she's saying, I'm on top of the world. Nothing's going to happen to me. But in a day, you will see destruction, and that's what happened under the Medo-Persians came in and destroyed the city of Babylon the first time the prophecy was fulfilled. But as with many Old Testament prophecies, and I haven't gone back into the Old Testament for this study, maybe as much as I should have, but there's a lot of Old Testament prophecies that had a near fulfillment and an ultimate fulfillment. And the destruction of Babylon, that's what we see with the destruction of Babylon. There was a historical fulfillment. There's an eschatological fulfillment that we read about here. And the reason it happens, I mean, in one day, her plagues are going to come. I think this is why we say this is in conjunction with the pouring out of the seventh bowl that we studied back in chapter 16. The city is leveled in one day. And it may not be a literal 24-hour day, but it designates a short, very short period of time. And she will be burned with fire. Why? Because the end of verse 8, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. Now, any questions about anything in verses 1 through 8? Because when we take off from here, there's a lot that's just really self-explanatory and easy to understand. Okay? Any questions? Now, who's going to see this and what's going to be their response? Starts the first response described as the kings of the earth. Remember the 10 kings that'll rule over 10 different provinces under the Antichrist, who get their authority from the Antichrist, who help subjugate the world to his rule. They rule under him. They get their authority from him. I think those are the kings of the earth that are spoken of here in verse 9. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensually with her, they were in league with Babylon. They're going to weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning. Standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, they're standing off. They don't want to get caught up into that destruction of that city, although they will. The kings of the earth at this point, I think, are going to be leading their armies to where? They're going to be leading them to the valley of Har-Mageddon for the battle of Armageddon. And on their way to this battle, they're going to see the smoke of that great city rising. And they're going to lament and weep and mourn when they see the smoke of her burning. Standing at a distance, verse 10, because of the fear of her torment, saying, Woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in one hour your judgment has come. Who else is going to mourn? The merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. The whole economic system is going to be destroyed. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and every kind of citron wood and every article of ivory and every article made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spice and incense and perfume and frankincense and wine and olive oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and cargoes of horses and chariots and look at the end of that. Slaves and human lives. You think the problem of human trafficking is bad now? It'll be a major part of that system under Antichrist. You want to know who's behind it now? It's Satan. And the merchants are going to mourn. There's 24 categories of goods and services, goods there that are mentioned. And they're pretty it's a comprehensive list, I think, of the things that John would have, the things that are listed that John would have understood from his perspective, from the perspective of his understanding of the economy. Verse 14, the fruit you long for has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. And the merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment. They won't want to get caught up in it. They're going to stand at a distance and with weeping and mourning, saying, verse 16, woe, woe, the great city. She who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste. Who else is going to lament this?
Anybody that trafficked
in it. Anybody that was paid to haul the goods around the world. And the shipmasters. Every shipmaster. And every passenger and sailor, and as many as make their living by the sea, stood at a distance and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping. Throwing dust on your heads was a kind of a universal sign of mourning. Weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she has been laid waste. Come to verse 20. Here's somebody that's not lamenting. Here's somebody that's rejoicing. Rejoice over her, O heaven. And you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. Who are the saints and apostles and prophets? Those who have stood faithfully and proclaimed the gospel and the truth of God's word in the face of the opposition of this godless culture that's ruled by already the spirit of Antichrist. They'll rejoice because God confirms his message with the judgment of this great city. Then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea. Remember what Jesus said about anybody that offended a little one? Be better that a great millstone were tied around his neck and cast into the sea. This great millstone was a stone about this thick and about 4 or 5 feet in diameter. A huge, heavy thing. Anything tied to it, thrown into the water, is going to what? Oh, it's going to the bottom. It's going to disappear. And a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. You know what? That's good news. That's reason for rejoicing. Especially for heaven and the saints and the apostles and the prophets who have heard God pronounce judgment on this enemy and who sees now this the execution of this judgment on that enemy. And everything that's associated with this world system disappears. And the sound of the harpist and the musicians and the flute players and the trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer. No more Woodstocks. No more concert. No more Taylor Swift concerts, I guess. All of that, huh?
No more,
yeah, from the world. It's gone. It's done. This is the end. This is the end of the world system of Antichrist. And no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. The grinding of grain. And the light of a lamp, the light, not even a light of a lamp, will shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer. There won't even be any more people saying, let's get married. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. There's another indicator, I believe, that this is a world system fueled by the almighty dollar. Might be something besides the dollar, but you know what that means. That it is a system fueled by greed. Because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. This is a just judgment. And here's the reason it was just. And in her, in this city, was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who had been slain on the earth. We think about the death and the devastation that's caused by Antichrist's system. And it's always an attack on God's people. Satan has always wanted to eliminate God's people. But also think about the blood of the unborn. The blood of the unborn spilled all over the face of the earth. This specifically says, in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints and all who had been slain on the earth. God will judge this evil world system that has spilled so much blood on the earth. And he'll judge it with utter destruction. I've said through this study that I think once we came to the bowl judgments in chapter 16, we came to the end of the offering of grace. The opportunity to repent was done. The unbelief that people had hardened their hearts in results in their certain destruction. And just remind you that this destruction comes in spite of the fact that so many will, that everyone who is destroyed when this system is destroyed, they will be without excuse because they will have heard the gospel. If somehow they avoid hearing it from the 144,000 Jewish witnesses that are preaching it throughout the earth, they avoid hearing it from them, or they avoid hearing it from some of those who are converted and come to faith in Christ, who die as martyrs, they will hear it from the two witnesses that are killed and brought back to life and taken to heaven. They'll hear it from the two angels that fly through mid-heaven. They will all die in this destruction, and they will all be without excuse. But this world system will be destroyed. Questions, thoughts, comments.